Great job, Sandy. Appreciate you standing in there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts this morning, the privilege of worshiping you, and for your amazing grace, Lord, and indeed saved us from our sin. And now, Lord, as we come before your word and open up your word together, I pray that you would speak to us through your word today, encourage our hearts as we come before you today, that we would hear from you, and as we leave here this morning, we can say it's been good to be with you because, again, our hearts have been refreshed by your grace. We've been fed and nurtured by your word again this morning. So we give glory to your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray, and in his name, amen. Have you ever been around someone who pretended to be somebody they were not? You're laughing, so I take that as a yes. Ever been around someone who tries to put on airs? You know, and they want people to think they're somebody better than they are. Maybe like this guy here. You know, he's out trying to impress that girl on his date, and she doesn't look too impressed, Mr. Bill. She's not too impressed at all. He's flexing his pecs and muscles, and she's just like, she could care less. Because he was trying to be somebody he's not, trying to impress. And sometimes when you're around somebody like that, I imagine this lady was thinking, and she didn't say it out loud maybe, but she's probably thinking, like, be real, will ya? You know, just be real. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to impress. Kim and I, like Jeff and Sherry Easter, they're gospel singers from Southern Gospel Singers. And if you have watched Gaither Homecoming, lots of times they're on them. But Jeff is from Georgia. And we went to see him one time, and he has a real strong Southern accent. And one time he said to us, he said, I'm Jeff Easter. And he said, what you see is what you get. And that's how it was with him. And that's how God wants us to be. And I imagine the Apostle Paul today would tell us the same thing. In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, that's what he's telling us. As he is relating his ministry back to the Thessalonians. And he's reminding them of his ministry in their midst. Reminding them of, even though his time was short, as we had seen last week in the introduction, that he was driven out of town quickly when this riot occurred. He didn't have much time to disciple and to teach the church there. But even though his time was short, he's reflecting on his ministry to them and sharing with them how he did not pretend to be anybody he wasn't. He did not seek to impress them. But he came with the gospel of Jesus Christ and showed him the love of Christ and showed the authenticity of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Today, God calls you and I to that very thing of being real, of being who we are before Christ, not putting any pretense on, not trying to impress God or others. And you know, we can't ever impress God, can we? And there's times people try to impress the preacher. They think, you know, I have to act differently when the preacher's around. But, you know, God wants us to be real, no matter who we are or where we're at. And that's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is about. The authenticity of being real. And Paul did not try to defend himself against the accusations that came his way. He did not try to impress those within the church he was writing to. He just simply, and his life serves as an example for all of us to follow. And today we're going to discover in these verses that Sandy read for us, four principles that we can apply to our life that are very applicational for you and I on how to live the kind of Christ life that Christ calls us to, an authentic Christian life, not full of pretense, but just being real and just being the kind of person that God calls us to be. And the first principle we discover is that in order to be real, we have to be willing to go the distance. A Christian who is devoted to Christ, who is seeking to be authentic in our faith without pretense, without putting a mask on, without seeking to be someone we're not. God calling us, and that first quality is being willing to go the distance. And Paul demonstrated that in his own life. And he opens up this chapter by saying, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had seen And if you remember from last week and in the background information, that it seemed like Paul's travel there was a failure, being driven out of town, and he was only in Thessalonica a very short time. And those who was writing to could have thought, you know, Paul, your time amongst our midst was, it wasn't very successful at all. I mean, they had to drive you out of town, and the church was young. But Paul had a willingness to go the difference, and he was looking back because he was reflecting on something else. He was not reflecting on the situation at the time. He's reflecting on the end result. And he said that we had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, with the help of our God, we dared to tell you the gospel in spite of strong opposition. And Paul was telling them and reminding them, and even in the midst of hardship, and even though when I came into town, he said, I was driven out, I didn't give up. And I continued to press on and said, I was willing to go the distance for you. And the kind of life that God calls us to is being willing to go the distance, meaning that we are to be intentional. Paul was intentional in his focus, that even though it seemed like a failure, he wasn't focused on the immediate situation. He was focused on the end result. And for you and I, in order to go the distance, we need to be intentional in our life and not be focusing on the situations that we're currently in, but focused on the end result. And Paul was focused on the harvest. And he looked beyond his few short weeks in the city of Thessalonica to the harvest and the church that was established as a result of it. And now as he was writing back, he said, you have been faithful, and you've grown, and you're becoming more and more like Christ. And the harvest was truly plentiful, and it wasn't a failure. The gospel had brought fruit. You know, when you and I are living sometimes in life and we're living in the immediate circumstances we're in, and sometimes we feel like what we're in right now is not going good. And we feel like our efforts are failing and they're not succeeding. And we can get discouraged. But being real is to go the distance, because we're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon, right? And be intentional and be focused on the end result. Don't focus on the circumstances we're in now, but keep our eye focused on the goal of being like Jesus, of crossing that race, of hearing him say, well done. The word failure there, he said, our visit to you was not a failure. That word failure means without result, empty, or ineffective. And he said, my ministry among you was not ineffective. It was not empty. It was not wasted. And sometimes we feel like our efforts can be wasted at times. He said, it's useless. And Paul said, no, because he was going the distance and he was intentional, focused on the end result of being like Jesus. Those of you that are parents or grandparents, think back to the time when you were raising your children. And think back to some of those difficult days when you were teaching them and you're trying to instruct them in what was right. And you were talking to them, and it seemed like what was going in one ear and out the other. Did you ever have those days? You know, like, they're not listening to a word I say. Sometimes spouses say that about their husbands or wives. You know, you're not listening to a word I say. But, and all those efforts of teaching and instilling in your children values and what you wanted them to learn over the years, and it seemed like they weren't getting it. It seemed like, you know, I'm wasting my time. I'm banging my head against the wall. They're just not getting it. But then as the years pass and the time grows up and you see that they just grow into a godly man or woman of God. Bev, John, you've seen that in your family. And you think, you know, it was worth it. Because you focused on the end result, not on the circumstance you're in, and you continue to go the distance. And don't look at the immediate situation, but keep your eye focused on the goal. Every year in the fall, when I'm practicing with the kids, and we have our children's musical practice, we have weeks where I throw up my hands and say, it's not going to make it. The kids are just horrible. It's not going to work. And they're not getting a thing I'm telling them. And they feel like this effort is wasted. But then whenever they go and do the performance, they always amaze. And they always come through. And That's how it is in our Christian life. And that's what Paul was saying here. Be willing to go the distance. Be intentional. Keep your eye focused on the goal. And realize that we're not in the sprint. We're in that race. Be intentional, but also be faithful. To be faithful to continue on. Paul said, my visit was not a failure. We have previously suffered and been insulted. But he said, with the help of our God, we dared to tell you the gospel in spite of strong opposition, in spite of hardship and adversity that Paul faced. He continued to be faithful to the Lord. He continued to be faithful to his calling. He didn't throw in the towel when it got difficult. He didn't walk away from the Thessalonians. He didn't say or walk away from the ministry God gave him, but he continued to be faithful. God's calling that of you and I. Being real means going the distance, being faithful even when it's difficult. Continuing to love those people that are hard to love. Continuing to forgive when we don't feel like it. Continuing to trust when we have that plagues of doubt. But continuing every day to be faithful to what God's called us to do. Continuing to walk hand in hand with Him. Faithfulness. And as we look back on our life, over the years, what is it that God blesses? What is it that is brings success spiritually? It's faithfulness day by day. And Jesus said, when you're faithful in the small things, I will give you faith. You will become rewarded in the greater things. When we stand before the Lord, what's His words going to be? Well done, faithful servant, right? The one who was faithful and kept their eye on the goal and continued to press forward when we're in it for the distance, even when it's difficult. Being faithful and being courageous and having that courage when it was hard. And Paul did not back down. In the midst of strong persecution, he said, when I was insulted and I was persecuted, I did not back down. He had the courage and the conviction to go the distance. It takes courage to stand alone and go against the tide sometimes. You know, it's easy to go in with the crowd, but it's hard to swim upstream. It's hard to go against the current, and it takes great courage to do that. And in our day, it takes courage to be a Christian. You know, that boldness it always has. And going the distance, being real, be intentional, be faithful, be courageous. That's the first thing we learn and we see from Paul's life. But the second principle we can apply to our life as well is if we want to be real in our faith, we need to seek God's approval and not man's. Now, this was an important one. And I believe if we could get a hold of this one principle in our life, it could transform us radically. Because, you know, a lot of us are this. We're people pleasers. We live to please people, and we're concerned about what other people think about us. And we'll respond and we'll live our life based upon what people think. And the Bible says that fear of man can prove to be a snare, if you know that verse. It can be a trap. Because if we're living our lives to please people and not God, that not only ensnares us, but we're not being real or authentic in our faith because we're back to trying to impress. Because when you're trying to please people, you're not being yourself because you want, in order to please people, you're going to do what you need to impress them, right? Paul didn't do that. He said, I didn't come to please you. He said, I come to please God. And he said, that was my purpose. And as you look in verses 3 through 6, notice it says, for the appeal that we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. For we are not trying to please who, he says, men, but God who tests our hearts. Being real means that we got to stop the people pleasing and live our life to please Christ and live our life to please Him. We don't want others. We want others to be pleased with us. And so we do what we need to pretend to be somebody we're not to impress them. W.A. Creswell, the great preacher of the gospel, years ago, told this story. And he told the story of a train master who was responsible for the smooth operation of a busy depot in the heart of a crowded city. A passerby commended him one day for his obvious display of grace and tact as he juggled his many responsibilities of including answering the passengers' questions, giving directions, and maintaining the smooth operation of the depot. And he did that gracefully. And this guy passing by said, "Well, how do you do it?" He said, "How do you do that?" He said, "With so many hurried people around you who are disgruntled and angry, how do you maintain your composure in such a situation?" The train master replied, quoting, he says, "Well, it's no big deal." He said, I don't have to please all these people. He said, "I only have to please just one man." And he pointed to an office and a window up on the second floor. And he said, "See, my master is in that office up there. And he alone is the one I have to please." You know, and that's how it is in your life and mine. There's only one person we really have to please, and that's Jesus Christ, right? And what he thinks about us is all that matters. It doesn't matter what other people think about you or I. And if we live our life to please people, we're going to continue to be entrapped. We're not going to be real. We're not going to be authentic. We're not going to be who God really calls us to be as believers today. Because our purpose is to please God, not people, because he alone examines the motives of the heart, Paul says. Because if you please God, it doesn't matter whom you displease. But if you displease God, it doesn't matter who you please. That was a quote from Adrian Rogers. So how do we do that? How do we live our life to please God and not man? Well, Paul tells us. He said, well, we got to live with the conviction that God examines our hearts. And since he's the one we got to please, knowing that he examines or looks into our heart, we got to live our life every day in a way that honors and pleases him. Because he tests our hearts. It says, I wasn't living with any motives to trick you. But on the contrary, I speak as one approved by God. Verse 4, it says, because we're not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. That word tests means examine. But it's in the personal, it's in the present form and tense, which means that it's an ongoing examination. That God is continuing to test our hearts every day because he knows the motives of who we really are. We can fool other people, but we can never fool God, can we? And he knows the intent of our heart. He knows why we do what we do. He knows what our motives are. And Paul said, I wasn't trying to trick anybody. My motives were pure. The Lord knows my heart, and he's testing and examining me, and he's the only one I have to report to. He's the only one I have to please. And so we need to live with that conviction that God is examining your hearts and mine. Our heart is an open book to him. And knowing that God examines our hearts can be convicting at times, can it? When we're doing those things or that we know we shouldn't be, we know that the Lord looks into the thoughts and motives of our heart and he knows that, that can be convicting. And it's a motivation for us to live our life to please him. Because at the end of the day, when we put our head on the pillow at the end of the day, we want to make God smile. At the end of the day, we put our head, we have nothing between God and us that we want to be sorry for. And that he is pleased with us. When we stand before him in that final time to hear him say, I am pleased with you. You have my pleasure. To put that smile on God's face. Living with the conviction he examines our hearts, but the other way we do it is to live with the comfort that God knows our hearts. Because not only does he test it, but the other part of that examination is that he knows us. And he knows you and I and loves us anyway. Aren't you thankful for that? that he knows and examines your heart and knows everything about you and me, but he still loves us. And Paul said, I was entrusted with the gospel. And here he said, I was the very one who persecuted the church. I was the very one who went and sought up Christians and sought to kill them, but yet God entrusted the gospel to me. He said, how comforting that is. In the midst of our failures, in the midst of the many things that we do wrong, God still knows us and loves us. That's a comfort. Because many of us can get caught up, myself included, can get caught up in the comparison game. Do you ever play the comparison game where you compare yourself to somebody else? You say, oh man, look at what a great person they are. And look at all the gifts and talents they have, and I'm not that great of a person. Or look how much they love Jesus, and compared to them, man, I'm really a sinner. And we can get caught up in that comparison game. But you know what, everybody? We don't know what's on the inside of someone else's heart, do we? And we can compare ourselves to somebody else, but we don't need to, because God knows our heart, and he loves you anyway. And he loves us despite. For what God knows about us is more important than what other people know about me. But we all can play the comparison game. As pastors, we can get caught up in that. And I used to get caught up in that. Tim, I don't know if you ever did, but I used to get caught up in that. And we'd go to conference, and you'd go hear about other pastors and see their great abilities and what they're doing, and think, man, I'm not anything like that. I'm not that good of a pastor. You know, we all can get caught up in that. But you know, God loves us just the way we are, made us who we are, and we don't need to compare ourselves to anybody. We just please God. And he's the one that we're responsible for. That's how we can be real, friends. That's liberating. I'm spending time on this one a lot, because if we can get a hold of this one principle, it can change us. We got to stop living to please people and live to please God. And he alone, because we can all get caught up in that people-pleasing mode. And that's not where God wants us to be. What God knows about me is more important than what others think about me. Is there an amen to that? And that's true. Paul said, I'm not pleasing people, I'm pleasing God. He said, you know when I came among you, you remember what I was like. I didn't try to impress you. I just was who I am. Because God is the only one that I had to give an account to. Third principle in how we can learn to be real is to put others before yourself. And Paul did that as well. When he went to Thessalonica, he didn't demand his own way. He didn't demand his rights. But he put them before himself. And notice what he said in verses 5 and 6. He said, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. He said, but we were not looking for praise from men or you or anybody else, and we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for the little children. We love you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own lives as well, because you become dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and our hardships, and we worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Paul came into Thessalonica and said, as an apostle of Christ, I could have made demands on you, and I could have said, you have to do all this for me. But he said, no, I put you first. And being real means we put others first and their needs before ourselves. There's a cartoon that depicted two little sisters on a rocking horse. And they were rocking back and forth on the rocking horse. And at first there were smiles on their face, and they were having a good time. They were rocking quite a long way for a while. Then finally, after a while, one of the older sister turns back to her younger sister. And she said this. She said, if one of us would get off this rocking horse, there would be more room for me. Isn't that our human tendency? If somebody else would get off, there'd be more room for me. You know, Paul said that's not the way to be. We need to think of others first. That means to serve the Lord with no promise of reward, and that's what Paul did. He said, I went amongst you, and I didn't demand that I be compensated for it. He said, I just came in with love to bring the gospel to you because he wanted them to know God's love. He wanted them to have a personal relationship with Christ. Paul did not make demands, nor did he have that sense of entitlement, thinking that he was entitled as an apostle because he was an apostle. He was entitled to certain things. How many people today live with a sense of entitlement? You know, thinking that I'm entitled to it because of who I am. You know, even Christians can fall into getting that sense of entitlement that we think we're owed something. We're not owed anything, are we? God's grace is given to us freely. And even pastors as well can fall into that sense of entitlement where they feel that they're entitled. And Paul said that was not what I demonstrated. He said, I came giving with no sense of reward. And there's many of you in this church that will quietly go and serve and do something for the Lord here. Quietly do it without any attention, not anybody making praise or fuss over it, and nor do you want that. And that's what God wants of us. And that's honoring to him. And that's the kind of spirit that he wants us to have. Not seeking any earthly reward, but seeking really the pleasure of the Father. Serving with no promise of reward. And even if there was not a reward promised to us in heaven, just serving because we have the love of Christ. That's one way we put others first. And the other way we put others first is the love with no strings attached. Paul said, not only did I not demand anything of you, but he said, I treated you and I was gentle among you like a mother who cared for their children. He said, I showed that gentleness to you as a parent and loved you with no strings attached. He didn't expect anything back from them. He didn't put any conditions on the Thessalonians for how they were to reciprocate his love that he showed. And as you as parents, you love your children unconditionally, right? You with no strings attached. And that's how the Lord calls us to love one another, putting others first. No conditions, no strings attached to saying, if you do this, I will only love you if you do this for me. And if you don't, I'll withhold my love. That's not being real. That's not being authentic in our faith. That's not being the kind of person God calls us to be. That's not what God demonstrated through Paul's life, that we're to emulate. But loving as Christ loved and gave that example for us. So to be real, we got to go the distance, seek God's approval, not man's, put others before ourselves. And the fourth and final way that we learn to be real in our faith and authentic is to walk worthy of Christ. To walk every day in a manner that is honoring to him, worthy of Christ in the way we live. We see that in the last two verses where he said, you are my witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know how we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. To live life worthy of him, bringing the Lord glory in your life and mine, you say, well, how can we do that? God alone is the one who's supposed to receive the glory, and he is. But God is glorified when he is seen in us. Where Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good deeds and give glory to who? Your Father in heaven. Not us, but to him. And when we walk in a way that is worthy of Christ as a believer, bearing his name, Christian means one like Christ. And if we bear that name, being worthy of that name, that is authentic Christian faith. That's being real. And how do we do that? Three ways. In verse 10, it's to live a holy life. When he says, you remember, you're a witness of how holy we lived among you. That word holiness means set apart. It describes our calling. For we are called to be holy as he is holy. Not that we can ever be perfect. We're going to not talk about that. It's not perfection. But it's the fact that God's declared us holy in His sight because of Jesus. Because of His Son and His blood shed and our faith in Him, He has declared you holy, and He wants us to live in the way that we've been declared to be. Our calling is to walk in the character of Christ, to walk like Him, living that holy life. Not too much is talked about that these days in a lot of our churches, about living in holiness and living in a way that calls us to. But that's honoring to Christ. It's worthy of Him. And it also means to live a righteous life. That's our conduct. Our calling is to be holy. Our conduct is to be righteous. That righteous means to be living in a way of following the right path. The path laid out for us in His Word, in His truth. That's the description of our conduct every day. Our conduct should be that of living in a way that is honoring to Christ. And we also are worthy of Christ when we live a blameless life. Now here it's not, that doesn't mean, again, being perfect. It's not sinless, but it's accepted. And being blameless means that you and I are not ever going to be sinless in this world. We're always going to struggle with sin, but being blameless means we're, in spite of our sin, we're accepted by God because of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? That His blood was shed, His blood paid the price, the covering has been made over you and me by faith, and He's covered us of our sins, past, present, and future, and we stand before God as if we are blameless, as if we had never, ever committed a sin in our life. Isn't that amazing? That's being blameless in our position, in our who we are, in our character, that before Christ, not that we're ever sinless, but we're accepted. And not that we're perfect, but we're forgiven. And then we confess our sin, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And makes us blameless in His sight. And that's the character of Christ lived out in you and me. So God says this morning, be real. Get rid of the pretense in your life. Stop living in the trap of trying to be somebody you're not, or trying to impress God or somebody else. But just be real in your faith of who you're called to be. Go the distance. Be willing to go the distance when it's hard. Be intentional in your faith. Don't focus on the situation among you, but keep focused on the end goal. Seek God's approval, not man's. Put others before yourself. And walk worthy of Christ. And in doing that, that's the calling of Christ before us this morning. And that's how we can be real in our faith and be the kind of authentic believer that God calls us to be in our world. One of the many things you always hear criticisms you always hear unbelievers say about Christians is there's too many they're all hypocrites. You know how many times we hear that? The church, well, God calls us, when we live out this way, we're being real authentic, because the world wants to see really Jesus in us being lived out, who we say we believe, who we say we are. Not trying to impress, but trying to show Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the life of Paul, who did not try to impress anybody, but he was who he was. And who You made Him and gifted Him to be. And Lord, that's what we all need to be, is who You made and gifted us to be. Not compare ourselves to somebody else. Or say, I wish You gave me this gift, or wish I could do this. And you look at what somebody else did and we think, oh man, they're a lot better than me. No. You made us all who we are. We don't need to impress anybody else, or it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about us. What really matters is what You think about us at the end of the day. And if we are trying to please others, we're going to be ensnared. We're going to be trapped. And the enemy likes to get us into that point of trying to please other people. And Lord, the only one we need to please is You. And so, Father, thank You for reminding us of that this morning. That at the end of the day, all that matters is that we bring You pleasure and we make You smile. So, Father, forgive us for the many times that we have played the comparison game and we have got caught up in that and trying to impress people with our own, making them think we're more spiritual than we are, or somebody we're not. And, Lord, just put others before you, serving with no promise of reward and no strings attached. And with that promise, Lord, knowing that I to walk worthy of you in our life at the end of each day, living each day for your glory and honor, walking in a way that is worthy of your name and bringing you glory and honor. So thank you, Lord, for your word and its teaching to our life this morning, what we can learn from it. Help us, Lord, not only just to hear your word, but to apply it to our life and live it out, that it produces within us the change that you so desire, that we bears the fruit within us that you intend in our life today as we continue to run the race and focus on the goal. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.